Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
We've somehow found a way to use our connection to keep us honest. Make us better. I should have explained that to you.
Yeah. You show me more patience than I deserve. Truth be told, I can be stubborn. Like you used to be.
You know, I still am. Just in a different way. Seeing her was a really good reminder. You know? We are always changing. With everything that happens to us, with the choices we make, what's meaningful to us. I get that being here and the way you came here is a big adjustment. But I think we made a pretty good team today.
Yeah. We got the job done.
Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What do you have to say about it, Jesse?
About what?
About starting the podcast.
I say welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, which one are we doing?
We're doing the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You're being difficult.
All right. Well, we needn't be difficult any longer because we can get this podcast started.
Let's get it started.
We're getting it started. The It's Got Star Trek podcast, episode 237.
Love it.
All right. We did the welcome part.
Thank you.
Welcome part. A reminder to folks that we can check it. Okay. Hold on. Let me start that over.
Remember.
What the hell is that?
I know. It's one of those evenings.
Remember. Okay.
Reset. It's got Star Trek 237, Star Trek Discovery, Season 5, Episode 4.
I've seen how you die.
face the strange. Do you know what this is a reference to?
At first, I thought it was Welcome to the Weird when I was trying to remember what it was called, but then I was like, no, it's not Welcome
it's
to
not
the
welcome
Weird.
Welcome to the Weird. It's what
face
are you talking
the strange.
About?
I don't
face
know.
Face the Strange. Face welcome the to the strange. Weird. That's next week's episode. But do you know what it's a reference to? At least according to Memory Alpha.
No.
Jesse, any clue?
No, I have no clue.
No.
Well, apparently...
Without a clue.
It's a reference to that David Bowie song. The one... Hold on a second. Which one?
What?
What? Oh, it's
fail
a reference...
Prepare to fail, son.
It's a reference to David Bowie's 1971 hit song, Changes. Changes.
Exactly.
Okay. Weird. All right. Well, none of us knew that. Thank you, Memory Alpha. We're going on faith there. We're familiar with the song, but not so familiar with it as to know if that phrase is in the song. Face the Weird.
Fail to prepare to fail.
Welcome to the Weird. What were you saying, Dan?
Yeah, I was saying Welcome to the Weird.
Welcome. Okay. All right.
Well, let's stick to the facts.
Okay. Well, well, this is off to an auspicious start here. Before we get into the meaty discussion of the podcast.
Ew, meaty.
The meaty discussion.
That makes me think.
Yeah,
I don't
sounds
like,
gross.
It's yeah, going to be a
gross.
Fun discussion.
It's like it's got veins in it or something.
Oh.
Well, okay.
All right.
Okay.
Fair point.
We're trying to get there. We're trying to get there. Okay. Step one is the welcome. We did that.
Okay.
Step two is the title and which episode we're talking about. Okay. We done did that.
Step three is a joke.
No, not yet.
Okay.
Step three.
I did a joke.
Is where we can remind folks, those who are so inclined, that they can go to our Patreon feed and get some bonus content.
Feedback.
Fun bonus content. Last week's entry, which
of course,
particularly proud of, was we were goofing around with some royalty-free music. Dan's doing some extemporaneous singing, making up some songs on the spot.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Who knows what it'll be this week? I do not know. But yeah, you can check that out. Patreon.com/It's Got Star Trek. You can find it all.
Shit.
Star Trek Beyond.
Right there. And let us know if there's something in particular you want us to talk about or audio to put up there or so other stuff. We're trying to find some clever things and not just audio. We're trying to come up with some other stuff to put up there as well. So keep an eye on that. You can subscribe for free if you like. You don't get access to everything, but you can get access to some previews and stuff. Check it out.
What if that doesn't work?
Next up, we do have a second break Fun-Em-Up. So that's something to look forward to. If you're not enjoying this first break, don't worry about it. Just power through. Mm-hmm. And once we get to the second break, a little over about a half hour in, we'll start that out with a second break Fun-Em-Up. I won't tell you what it is, but suffice to say, it isn't likely to dampen your spirits. That joke, that won't mean anything.
Step away from the console.
Until later.
Hey, Dan, what are the clips that you pulled?
Clips?
Yeah, play all the clips.
Are you trying to say something?
I think Jesse's ready for this podcast to be over.
No, I'm just...
He's just like, play them all.
He's commenting on the fact that I'm playing clips.
Oh, is that what... Are you commenting on the fact that he's playing...
No, I was just saying all his clips. You should play all the clips. Now,
all right, so I am very grumpy.
That's a great one.
I think Jesse was joning on me.
This episode...
You wish.
...is full of clips. And I was watching this episode, and I was like, oh, I bet Dan got that one.
There's a few that I hope he got, yes.
Okay. But before we get to that, let's get through a couple of emails.
Email
we have a couple of emails this week. We have one email from Steve Schwartzoff.
No.
Yes.
Thanks.
Steve says, hello, gentlemen. I generally like your playing with the meaning of words, and I'm not really complaining.
Oh, no.
But you have repeatedly objected to the term keep your eyes peeled without apparently realizing that your eyelids are the peels being pulled back. Keeping your eyes peeled simply means your eyelids being peeled back so you can see.
Keep them open.
Sounds bad.
It may be fun to imagine someone sitting down with a bucket of eyes and a knife.
That's bad.
but the idiom is less extreme than that. You know, it's funny because I'm reading this and I'm like, I have to have known that. But I think somewhere along the line, my brain just decided to elide, no eyelid joke here, but to elide.
eyelid. Yes. Elide, that's...
I'm not making an eyelid joke.
That was a stretch right there.
No. You elide.
Elide.
You elide the knowledge from my brain. I've elided the knowledge of the
step away from the
eyelid being the thing that's peeled back.
Oh, man.
I think that's the deal.
Yeah, I guess, okay, I'll say two things. One, I never associated with eyelids before for some reason. Now that you mention it, it seems very obvious that that's what it's about.
It does seem obvious.
But number two, I also didn't literally think that you were taking a carrot peeler to somebody's eyeballs. So
you
don't know.
No, but you did mention taking a carrot peeler to your teeth because you kept referring to the skin of your teeth.
Yeah, well, okay. Ooh, no, but what? Right. Okay. Okay. Let me clarify.
We haven't even gotten to the second thing that Dan was going to mention.
Let me. Well, that was the second thing that I was going to mention. Is
oh,
that,
the skin of the teeth?
No.
Okay. Sorry. Saying, we did mention
so
it.
My bad. I didn't think that it. I didn't put it two and two together to think.
Wait,
it was,
did you say a carrot peeler?
I'm getting to it. Just let me say what I'm going to say again. Right. I didn't put it together that it was opening and closing your eyelids, which in retrospect I should have because it seems very obvious now. But number two, I didn't literally think someone is taking a carrot peeler to the eyeballs, but that's the image it evoked in my brain.
I don't think Steve thought you literally. Well, and this was all prompted by the fact that Tilly makes that comment.
And I've always been
Tilly
thinking,
too doesn't know.
Tilly too.
Well,
and so the skin of your teeth was something similar. Yeah.
Well, in a separate email, Steve had mentioned, he'd commented, just paraphrasing, that there's the possibility that because of the various time travel shenanigans, that we might be like a copy of Earth or a different alternate version. He even suggested we were like on Miri's planet. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why we don't know. Maybe Steve's from like proper Earth where they know about the idiom. And we're from an alternate Earth where we don't know about the idiom. Maybe like Miri's planet is all about not understanding idioms.
That's a good segue to this question I have. What is your opinion on this?
Okay.
Let me get through this.
Okay. Dan, you know, to new audience members, I know this is episode 4, but we're still getting some new listeners. Our listenership is growing each week. As word gets out.
Ship's growing.
Right.
It won't after this week, maybe. But but Dan regularly comes up with excellent new schemes, excellent new bits, excellent new games. And what was this one?
I really do.
This one, this is a brand new bit called "What's Your Opinion on That?"
Yeah, right. It's called "What's Your Opinion on That?"
All right.
Okay.
All right. What was the question you were going to ask? This
first episode of "What's Your Opinion on That?"
Because then Jesse and I can provide our opinion on that.
Okay. So let me get through this, please.
All right.
Okay. So let's say you're living today. You're 2024. Let's just round it to 2025 to make it easier.
All right.
Let's see. You travel from 2025 to 2400.
Okay.
Okay. You with me, Jesse?
Jesse. Okay, Dan. So now what Dan has done here is... Jesse misplaced something.
I dropped something.
And he was carefully skulking about the studio, trying to pick up the thing.
The
that
headphones
he
have long cords on them, and I was able to reach around and
when
grab
we,
what
when
I
we
needed.
Outfitted the studio, we specifically sought
exactly
sought out long corded phones.
Yeah,
you know,
okay,
old school. Phone, all right, Dan.
Phones got long cords.
Okay,
what's our opinion on what?
You live in the year 2025,
yes,
and you travel forward in time to the year 2400.
Okay.
Do you then stay until, for 5 years...
2025?
Okay, let me get through this, please.
I'm sorry.
This is what I'm...
You should have started in 2024. You've confused Jesse by making it a year in advance.
Let's say, I know, but this is where we're at. You travel from the year 2025 to the year 2400. You
okay.
stay there for 5 years until 2405. Then you travel back in time from 2405 to 2300. Then travel from 2300 back to the future to 2400. So you end up at the year 2400. You've gone to 2025 to 2400 to 2405 to 2405 to 2300, then 2300 back to 2400. Is that traveling to the future or the past?
Is what traveling to the future or the
you
past?
You ended up at the year 2400.
Then you're in the future. From the beginning of the journey or how long are you?
Okay, I didn't.
Or do you mean just the last leg?
Are you
asking about the last leg of that journey?
Because you started out at, you know, this year or next year or whatever. Well, next year, because this year we don't have time travel. So next year we'll have time travel and we'll be able to do this? Is that what you're saying?
When you're traveling from 2300 to 2400,
okay,
the last leg, yeah, is that traveling to the future or the past? Remember, you
stayed. I don't understand the question. Would it be the future? Regardless
sounds
of
sounds like the future to me.
But it would be forward in time.
But it would be your past.
No, but it would only be partly your past. Okay, I see what
because
you're saying.
I guess the important part is you're at 2400, you stay until 2405,
yeah,
then you go to 2300, then you go back to 2400.
I get you.
It's so 23 it's to 2400.
Your past and your future.
Is that traveling to the future or the past?
I think you got to say it's both your past and your future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It depends. You got your one timeline, you got your own personal timeline. But I get what you're getting. I was like, is this completely divorced from the topic at hand? But no, it's not.
It's not completely.
I think it's entirely relevant to the topic at hand.
So
both Discovery generally and this episode. What was it?
Welcome to the Weird.
Welcome to the Weird.
So
that's right.
Audience members, what's your opinion on that?
Okay. Oh. All right. Well, please write in at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
We'll find out later.
Subject line, what's your opinion on that? And we won't summarize Dan's time travel itinerary, but I think you got the gist of it. You'll let us know what you think. I say you're both in your past and your future when you do that.
Is that what you say, Jesse?
That seems to make the most sense logically, yes.
Love it.
Say that because if you've already been to that far point in the future and then you go back and then you go back again to that you've already been there. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. It's a real brain teaser.
Well, I mean, is it? Is it? Well, we'll find out. Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. All right. And then we also have an email from Tarek, our old friend Tarek, who's guested on the show a few times. And Tarek says...
Cloak alert.
Tarek says, howdy ho, gentlemen.
Hi.
Not to prevent any talk-em-ups, but to prevent talk-em-ups, I figured I'd drop some thoughts on Disco Season 5 so far, and the recent episode specifically. While I'm sad to see Disco and Lower Decks end this year, I have been mostly impressed with what we've gotten from Disco. This week's time-hopping shenanigans were fun and reminiscent of Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad,
totally,
and even TNG's All Good Things. I also thought it was a little bit like Voyager's Shattered. It's another one where people are sort of being bouncing around in time. This is not something totally
new.
There's
one of them. There's another TNG time loopy.
Yeah. I mean, of course, there's cause and effect and stuff, a couple things like that, too.
Yeah, it was cause and effect, even though it's not really that similar to cause and effect, that was coming to mind.
There's some hints of it. Tara goes on to say, I love the overall story arc following the MacGuffin of the progenitor tech and can't wait to see where it ends up. It was nice to see Arium again in the past and O.O. Detmer and Reese in the present. Which, yeah, I agree. That was awesome. It was finally getting to see some of the people we're used to seeing around. And even the return to the empty discovery with Zora in the future, tying back sort of to the short trek you wisely covered, before the season started. As usual, keep up the good work and belated happy birthday to Dan.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Tarek.
Oh, I don't know why I said you're welcome. Well, I presume Tarek is saying you're welcome. He's listening to this.
You're playing the role of Tarek.
I'm playing the role of Tarek.
Thanks, Tarek.
Thank you.
I love you.
And I agree. I've been very much enjoying Discovery. It's still one part of the storyline that I have a quibble with. We can get to that when we get to that. But overall, I've been highly entertained, very impressed, and I remain disappointed that this will be the conclusion because they're doing stuff that just makes me want to see these characters do yet another story, especially, you know, Commander Raynor is shaping up to be a very interesting character. So
this episode was all about Raynor connecting with the crew. Basically.
Oh, I thought you were about to lay down some rap music. The way you said that.
This episode was all about, I'm gonna stop right there.
Hey Dan, you don't got to do nothing. Don't worry about it. But I'm just, there was a rhythm to what you were saying.
Well, I like to speak in rhythms less so than
he's a rhythmic
rhymes.
Fellow.
Yes.
Well, and this whole episode was pretty much the theme of it. I thought was really just to get Raynor connected to the crew. It was through Reno, and Burnham, and Reese, and Stamets. He found a different way to connect with each one. Like with Reno, he appreciates her because like she all saves his ass, and then she gives him that face cleaning cloth tech, which was just her wristband, I guess, or something.
Wait, did you refer to it as face cleaning cloth tech?
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know exactly what it was. So it was some kind of tech.
She tore off part of her sleeve.
Well, that's tech, right? That required technology. That required technology to create the cavemen.
It's like the first technology.
Yeah. The cave people didn't have that.
I mean, semantics can be fun from time to time.
Yes, oh, and when she said Vesper Martini, ice cold.
James Bond.
Vesper Martini, ice cold.
You noticed that Raynor was like, it's the only way to drink them. Yeah. So that was them kind of connecting to that. Yeah. And when she left, he was all kind of like, yeah, she's all right. And then when Burnham's remembering the mutiny, and Raynor's like, you captained a ship, you were first boarded as a prisoner, trying to like console her, you know, and she was into that. And then when he was being all grumpy bumpy with Stamets.
Grumpy.
And Stamets was like, no way, dude. And then,
Stamets just calls him out.
Yeah, and then Raynor's like, you're not in it alone. I'll help you, because Stamets is like, I'm doing this all alone. He's like, I'll help you, man. Then he had that weird thing he said about old dogs or whatever. It was
let's show him how a couple of old dogs still know the best tricks.
Which I didn't quite.
Yes, a couple, because you can't teach an old dog.
I know,
new tricks.
No, I know the saying, but I just didn't.
So the
quite...
old dogs have, you know, they still have some tricks up their sleeve.
How is Stamets an old dog though? Just because they were from the future?
No, well, Stamets, he's like 100 years old, isn't he?
Stamets?
Yeah, isn't he like 90 years old?
Okay, you're making sillies.
Well, let's. You want to look it up? How about this? You vamp for a bit. I will look up how old Stamets is.
Okay. So, anyway, that Raynor was okay. Alpha. You can do that. I can't vamp if you're talking while I'm vamping.
Come on.
Okay. And so, Raynor was connecting with Stamets, and then he connected with Reese over the sexy ship curves. Mm-hmm. He was saying because Reese loved the Crossfield, the 23rd century Constitution class. When so does Raynor. But here's the problem with that part. This, you could say that his connection with Reese indicated that more than 20 word interviews aren't necessary, because he gleaned that information from Reese from an interview that was supposed to be 20 words or less. Mm-hmm. Remember, he was like 20 words or less, and then Tilly's like, you can't learn from 20 words or less. Well, he learned this about the Crossfield from 20 words or less when interviewing Reese. So in a way, Raynor was correct that he didn't need more than 20 words to get what he needed to know, because he connected with Reese and saved the day with Reese over that whole, you know, sexy ship curves, which was 20 words or less. And then Rayner also called out young Burnham's fraud, fraud complex.
There is a young Frankenstein.
No, young Burnham's fraud complex. He was all talking about, like, because she thought she was a phony. And he's like, no, you're not. But, you know, a lot of people have fraud complexes. So, I mean, that's not exactly a very astute observation. But he did connect with her over it. Doesn't mean he can't connect
fraud
with her.
Fraud complex.
Why'd you say that jokingly?
Huh?
What was so funny about the way you said that?
It's just people don't normally refer to it as...
imposter syndrome?
They call it imposter syndrome.
Okay.
I like fraud complex. Fraud complex sounds more... I don't know.
Okay,
I
guess imposter syndrome.
Well, fraud complex might technically be different because imposter syndrome is... I don't deserve to be here. Fraud complex seems like there's an intentionality to it. It's like, hey, these motherfuckers don't know that I'm totally tricking them.
Cloak alert.
Paul Stamets is 68.
What?
Yes. Paul Stamets. He was born in 1955 in Salem, Ohio.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
He went to Mercersburg Academy.
Oh, man. You're looking at a Facebook page.
No, this is the real Paul Stamets. Paul Stamets, Commander Paul
Stamets. The guy
that wrote
that book about them.
Paul, he's the mycology dude in real life. Yeah. He's super mushroom man. He's actually a super interesting
He likes
fella.
Those super...
I saw a movie about that.
He likes those super mushrooms, man. Get it? He likes those super mushrooms, man.
But yeah, so since our Paul Stamets is based off of the real life Paul Stamets, it means that Paul Stamets on Discovery is 68.
And
he's probably younger than Commander Rayner. I mean, older than Commander
Rayner. You know that's not true, and I will not entertain.
Did you say I know that's a not true?
You said you know that's not true. Maybe I added a syllable because I changed the direction of my sentence like people often do when they're talking.
I thought you were making like a Mario joke. You know it's not a true.
No, these are just normal. These are just normal like artifacts of speaking is like sometimes weird sounds come out. It's not really.
Make a lot of weird sounds.
It's not.
It's a well-stated point, Dan.
Speak.
And I concede to you. I concede to you that.
Is this amateur hour?
All right, back to this show.
So no, Paul Stamets is not an old dog, and I don't know why the only reason I could think that they said old dog was because Stamets is from the future by like a few years.
Right. Well, I do think it makes sense, but you know, all joking is salad.
Yes, I heard what you did.
Paul Stamets. They're all three characters that
Egg
we follow
salad.
In this episode. Burnham.
Wait, but we still
Rayner,
don't. Wait, you
and Stamets.
You said you made sense, but you haven't followed up on that.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay.
What I'm doing right now is following up.
I need to be left alone.
No. Not until we're done. So, Paul Stamets, Michael Burnham. What's his name?
Rayner.
Yeah, but is it Tug Rayner? What's his first
Tug
name?
Rayner.
Tug.
Tug Rayner.
Tug Boehner.
So, Tug Rayner,
yeah,
Michael
Tug
Burnham,
Tug.
Paul Stamets. They're the heroes of the episode, of course. They solve the problems, and we'll work through those in a little bit.
Mm.
And it's all very fun and exciting.
Boo.
But since you brought up the thematic stuff already.
What?
I enjoyed that, yes, this episode ultimately is talking about the value of connection, and a lot of it is for the character growth of Commander Rayner. But... They also learned stuff.
They learned similar stuff.
All right. So yes, okay. Rayner's the most impacted. He's the one who's like, holy shit, I learned a fucking lesson. People change, and that's the way
you sounded
way
like Andrew Dice Clay. Holy shit, I learned a fucking lesson, eh?
What did he say? Rickety tickety tavy. Rickety tinky tavy. What did he say? Tickety talk. Dice o'clock. What was it that he said? You know what he said, Dan?
Yeah.
Hickory dickory dock.
Yeah.
I pulled out my
yeah, right.
Something along those
something
lines.
Something that
right?
rhymes with cock.
Man, that guy kind of sucks. But
yeah.
So.
Yeah, he actually really does kind of suck. He said some fucked up shit. I hear he sucks pretty bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
we're not talking about Andrew Dice.
No, we're talking about the lessons learned
by
Commander Rayner, Burnham and Stamets.
Burnham.
Rayner, gets the highest impact because he's the one who's really like, my mind is blown about this lesson that I learned during the course of these events. But Burnham, there's no joke there.
You gotta think of a different word than but.
However, Burnham, let me tell you what. However, Burnham, Michael, she learns something. She's reminded about something, really, because her interaction, not just with herself going through the past, but maybe particularly with herself, but the whole experience. Michael Burnham is reminded and has reinforced the fact that people do change over time based off of their experiences. Mm-hmm. The story has that undercurrent of potentially fucking up the future and the mm-hmm. past and stuff. So that's it's got a little of that, the Christmas movie with the suicide, you know, the suicidal Christmas movie where the guy blows his brains out.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Mm. I know he doesn't blow his brains out. Metaphorically blows right. his brains out.
He jumps off a bridge.
But yeah, I mean,
it's got hints of that underneath. But my point is that Burnham learns that, but Stamets learns something similar. Stamets, thus far this season, his primary concern has been, I'm not going to do anything useful anymore. Because like the one thing I right. was good at is deemed like obsolete.
So he's considering himself an old dog now.
Yes. Okay. That's what I'm getting at. Why All he right. thinks he's an old, useless dog.
I didn't see where you were going with this until the very end. Then
I eventually figured it out.
You did it.
I got a little confused there in the middle because of the whole butt Burnham business.
The butt Burnham.
But
exactly.
But we worked through that in a relatively professional fashion.
Thank you, Lynn.
And now we're here. So yeah, they all learned and were reminded that things change, that things are not static and positive or negative. It's just something you sort of have to deal with. Mm-hmm. So there we go. We got there in the end.
You were talking about time could have gotten fucked up. Keep in mind, these were weapons that they used in the time wars or whatever.
The temporal. I love mentions of the temporal Cold War. I particularly love mentions of the temporal Cold War in the past tense, which we've only gotten to see in Discovery. You know, it's ever since they got into the 32nd century, there's been a couple of times where it's been referenced that we are past the temporal Cold War, but there's these little trinkets and things that are lingering from that period.
So when Rayner tries to remove it from the thing, and then Stamets freaks out and says, if removed improperly, incalculable timelines might converge at once, ripping every molecule around us into infinite directions over and over again for eternity. Mm-hmm. Now, once again, reminding what I just said, this was apparently a not uncommon weapon during the temporal Cold War. So you'd think that this would have happened at least once by now.
Probably did, yeah.
Which means that there's irreparable damage done to the entire timeline.
No, I think...
Or is it just to apply to that one person?
To me, I interpreted it as your life will be eternally fucked up. Okay. It's basically like
you're
going to go into a hell. Maybe the people on the ship are around you. Mm-hmm. You're right. I guess you could think about it a different way, but with a time travel MacGuffin, you always have to be, you know, there's always, it's such a powerful thing that if you really examine it too closely, there can be a lot of ways it could be improperly used. Because it is funny that they're all like worried about this progenitor tech, and it's like, I don't know, this bug thing is pretty fucking great for fucking shit up too.
Yeah, they called it a time bug, and it's not a bug, it's a time spider. They even talk about putting their hands into the spider's nest at one point.
And at the end, Stamets talked about being appropriately named.
Yeah, he did. Right. He says, aptly named.
It should be time spider. Do you think they were like time spiders too stupid compared? Because time bug is kind of stupid.
But
I still like it.
Yeah.
But it's stupid.
Well, the reason.
But time spider, I think, would be better.
See, the reason time bug works because you already have like a bug is established as something that like fucks shit up.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. It's just adding an adjective to it. But
they should have made it look like a beetle.
Yeah, right. They should have made it look like a... Or is a beetle a bug? I guess a beetle's a bug.
Yeah.
Actually,
wait, you know what? That's not necessarily true because there is a specific definition of bug.
An insect.
Yeah, but it's not just an insect.
There's a specific definition of bug and insect.
Yeah. Well, so like all bugs are insects, but not all insects are bugs.
Kind of like all squares are rectangles, but rectangles aren't squares.
Well, yes, that's implicit. I think our audience is clever enough.
No, I was just giving an analogy.
Yeah.
I was giving it a fucking analogy. I wasn't teaching our audience what rectangles are.
Okay, dude.
Remember that song Friday where they teach you the days of the weekend? Yesterday was Thursday, and today is Friday. Next day is Saturday, and Sunday is after that. And this isn't the weekend. Remember that Friday song?
I don't know this song.
Remember Kelly, something, Rebecca Black?
Oh, yeah, that song. It's Friday. Yeah. Friday.
There was one part she's like, yesterday was Thursday and today is Friday. And then she's like, tomorrow's Saturday so and
you're
Sunday
singing,
comes.
You're singing like the verse.
Yeah. That was like the breakdown. That was the bridge where she was giving you she was telling you what days of the week exist.
Okay.
Anyways. Yeah. So the line, the part was like, Burnham goes.
Some kind of a time bug.
And Stamets goes, yeah, aptly named. And I know where it is. Yeah. And it's, And then, because later Rainer at one point says, guess I'm the lucky one sticking his hand in the spider's nest. Yeah. So yeah, it should be, I think Time Spider sounds cooler.
I think it does too. And you know, do you think that they had Time Spider in the script, but then Callum Keith Rennie was just like, I can't read that and sound cool. Because when he says Time Bug, he sounds kind of cool. When he was all like, oh shit, I know what it is.
Time Bug.
Time Bug. But maybe he just didn't think he could pull that off with Time Spider.
Well,
still, the solution is to have made it a different insect or an actual insect.
Well, this reminds me of a joke I was going to tell.
Oh, no, a joke.
Okay.
A bag. The conical wave.
And
Grenham chronophage.
Walk into a bar. Bartender says,
get a better helmet.
Okay, we got to talk about all that when we get back. When we get back from the break, if you didn't hear last week, go listen to last week's episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, because this is an extension. What Dan just did is an extension of what he was doing last week, for better or for worse. All right, we have to take a quick break. We will be right back.
And we should be back in our real time in a flash, literally.
Okay, we have returned.
Literally.
Okay.
From our break.
So we'll have to begin it with me telling the joke again. So we can go in a conversation. Okay.
You're not telling the joke.
Here's the joke.
You're composing the joke.
Here's the joke. Here's the joke I just told.
Your instrument is sound clips.
In case you forgot what the joke
is. And your music is humor. Okay, go. Tell your damn joke.
I'm waiting, Dr. Truffles.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that. At first, I was like, why is she calling him? I was like, he's a mushroom guy.
Mushroom man. So
he's a 68-year-old mushroom man.
68. 69, dude. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So in case you forgot what the joke is, here's the joke.
A bag. A conical wave.
And a
Grenham chronophage.
Walk into a bar. Bartender says,
get a better helmet.
Okay, right. Why did we hear it again? I'm not clear on why we heard it again.
Because we were going to talk about it.
Was it because the break was so long?
Yeah,
you know, for the audience, it's not necessarily as long as for us.
Well, you know, isn't that weird?
I mean, it's not that weird.
A little weird.
I mean, it's not that weird.
A little weird.
Because you can pause recordings.
Crenum chronophage.
I like that. The crenum were the in Voyager's Year of Hell. That's the crenum, right?
Oh, this reminds me of another. Double dumbass on you.
That's Star Trek 4, and then there's Star Trek Voyager's Year of Hell, parts 1 and 2.
This reminds me of another joke. How does one fend off a crenum chronophage?
Oh, no.
With a chronoton stabilizer.
Okay, all right. So that's not a joke. You're merely explaining a small component of the plot.
It's not even a riddle.
There's no joke there. It's definitely not a fucking riddle.
This is a red directive mission.
All right, okay. All right, we'll get back to our fulsome discussion soon enough, but as we promised, we do have a second break.
I thought you were going to explain why my last week's joke-telling session.
No, I wasn't going to explain. I was just telling people that it existed, that they can go back and look.
Oh, I thought we were going to get back to
it after the break. You did a similar gimmick where you had... In fact, you are doing better this week because last week you didn't even have a punchline. Last week you kept saying you have a joke and then you just played three clips that were a setup. Maybe, loosely could be considered a setup. Mm-hmm. And then you had to, on the fly, you selected a punchline that was not in fact a punchline and you kept laughing, laughing your ass silly. Because you thought it was so funny.
It's just a crazy idea.
That's one of my favorite quips.
I know.
All the best ones are Cisco, I think.
Yeah.
It's just a crazy idea.
Okay. All right. Evidence.
Evidence!
So, this week.
Okay. Let's do it!
Yes. This week. Yes, we're going to get there. This week. This week. Second break fun 'em up. Some of you may recall a few weeks back, when we discussed the first two episodes of this season of Discovery, we put out a call for folks to send us in ad copy with a Star Trek theme so that we could practice or demonstrate how good we would be at reading ads were those folks who were interested in hiring people to read ads, were they to hire us?
Right.
That's right. So we started getting some entries, which is great because then I don't have to write fake ones or have ChatGPT do it. We did get an entry from Jesse from Open Pike Night sent
what?
In. Yep. Yeah. Okay. yes, you heard it. Jesse from Open Pike Night sent in a great draft for, I think, a very interesting product. Mm-hmm. And so Dan's going to take this one. But first we have to figure out, we need some music. You got to have some music for these ad reads, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just got a couple. I'll play a couple bars. You let me know if you.
What if that doesn't work?
If it doesn't work, then you're fucked. There's this one.
Cloak alert. Cloak alert.
Yeah, or you can just do some groovy tunes if you like. How about...
It's a mystery indeed.
All right. I want to try...
No.
This is more medical, right?
Yeah, this is...
Unacceptable.
Sounds bad.
Do not take trichlorazine for more than 3 days.
That's bad.
Okay.
Don't do that.
This one's called Space.
What the hell is that?
It's pretty righteous. Space? That's, you know, it's outside.
Cloak alert.
All right. I don't think you like that one.
Sounds bad.
You don't like this? This is called Vinyl Funk.
Sounds bad.
Shit. Okay,
sounds bad.
Yeah. No, I kind of like that one.
That's pretty good, right?
Right, rocking.
How about this one? This is the ad played by the gas company after there's a horrible spill in the local waterway and they've poisoned the aquifer. Oh. And they're all like, "We here at Boogly Blue invest millions of dollars in the local economy. We hire you all for work. But maybe not what you're looking for."
To me, it sounds like an ad for Zerpatrek or something. Zerpatrek.
I don't know what
that
this
was
is.
Over the line.
You're not feeling this one. How about this one? This one you might like.
That was over the line.
This one you might like.
Deeply unpleasant.
Thank you.
Love you.
Retro funk, energetic background music.
Love it.
Love you.
Ah, it's pretty groovy. I'm digging it.
Love you.
Great, of course.
Love it.
I don't know if it's good for a commercial read, but...
Love you.
It's a groovy tune.
I love you.
All right.
Love it.
Okay.
Fair point.
You gotta pick one of those, Dan.
I don't remember which was which.
Well, you want the Vinyl Funk one? Did you like that one?
Which one was that?
That was this one. Can you work with that? You can put it down real quiet.
Sure, I guess I can do that.
All right, you want me to start it over?
Okay.
All right.
But wait, but we got to be careful, right? Or when do I just jump in whenever?
You do whatever you want, dude. We're demonstrating how awesome we would be and how people should be sending us filthy wads of money. Filthy.
So we only have one shot.
I want bags full of poison-covered latinum.
Fail to prepare, prepare to fail. So we only have one shot.
All right. Give it. I'll just push play and you give it a try. You do whatever the hell you want.
You're a hardworking Starfleet captain. You've got conferences to attend, anomalies to scan, directives to implement, and maneuvers to lend your name to. You don't have time for the problems caused by those budget inertial dampeners, like dead officers, shattered view screens, and internal bleeding just because you slowed to impulse. If you're sick of explaining to your superiors why you need a new crew and your umpteenth artificial heart replacement, then come on down to Damper Dan's Damn Good Dampeners. These dampeners are so damn good, you'll question whether you've decelerated at all. They even work when going to warp, so you'll be able to treat your crew to peace and long life, no matter how much inertia you need to dampen in any direction. So the next time you're getting retrofitted, ask for Damper Dan's Damp Good Dampeners. The best damp dampeners Lampton can buy. That's Damper Dan's Damn Good Lampeners, just across from Patrick's Pips and Positronics on North Highway 204, Exit 4, Gallurdon Corps. And if the Admiral tells you Starfleet can't afford it, tender your resignation and say, I'm a Damper Dan man, damn it!
Oh man, thank you, Jesse. I really enjoyed that. When that email came through, I was like, this is so fucking delightful. And I think you did a very good job, Dan.
Yeah, I think the only word
Damper Dan.
I stumbled over one beginning of one sentence, and then on the line that says, if you're sick of explaining to your superiors why you need another new crew, I said, if you're sick of explaining to your superiors why you need a new crew. I didn't say another new crew. I said a new crew. So right. I said a new crew instead of another new crew, and I stumbled at the beginning of one all of right. the paragraphs, but overall pretty good. Right, we can all punch that other stuff in later.
Yeah,
we'll punch it in.
Punch it.
Just punch it in.
It's a term of art, right? It's a term of art to punch it in.
You just punch it in.
You just punch that shit right in.
Yeah, it actually is. Like, if you want to, like, if you flub a jub, you can just punch it in.
Punch it in. All right. Well, thank you, Jesse. That was fun. If anyone else would like to send in something
thank
similar,
you.
And I think main point here, in addition to being brilliant and hilarious, I think Jesse he understood the brief. He got the joke.
Exactly.
He understood what we were going for.
Right.
And it was brilliant.
Right. Of course.
So if you, now that I've talked that up, if you'd like to be brilliant as well.
Shit.
You've got, there's a high bar set now, but yeah, if you send them in, we'll do the same thing. Dan,
yeah.
Jesse, you can write us a private email, feedback@scottstartrek.com. We're happy to answer any questions.
What are you into?
What are you even into? Okay. Excellent. Thank you. All right. Back to the episode discussion.
Yes.
So.
Let's stick to the facts.
In your joke, I did want to reference one thing in your joke.
Which joke? I told two jokes.
No. Okay. The one that you claimed, you know, with the sound clips. The sound clip joke.
Oh, the sound clip joke.
Right. Yes.
About the bag, the conical wave, and the crenum chronophage.
Yes. So we already talked about
crenum chronophage.
The crenum, which is cool. Chronophage, which is, you know, like a time creature.
Not the one about the
chronoton stabilizer.
Not that one.
No. I forgot that wasn't actually. No, remember, that doesn't count as a joke because it wasn't a joke. You don't get to say you told two jokes.
It was about the
bug. The scary bug.
Time bug.
Yep. Yes, the time bug. No.
Some kind of a time bug.
No. Okay. In that joke, part of the punchline is Janet Reno. Jesus fucking Christ.
Reno.
Jet Reno saying, get a better helmet.
Yeah. Get a better helmet.
So that's funny, right? It's a funny joke, but they almost had to have something there because it didn't make any sense. Why were they punching people with their bare hands and punching them in the helmet, and the guys were just getting fucking clocked and getting, like, knocked the fuck out.
I kind of enjoyed watching the dude get hit in the head with a phaser bolt.
That was cool.
That was cool because you saw his head go like, gong.
Yeah.
You could feel the concussive force. But yeah, like knocking him in the helmet.
Leaving aside that in Star Wars and in newer Star Trek, the laser bolts is sort of a peculiar concept.
Yeah,
the
it is. Phaser bolts, right.
As opposed to solid line, but anyway,
these were this was in the regulators. I think those were the regulators.
Isn't that a band?
That's a song by Warren G.
Well, there you go.
The regulators. This was in the fourth cycle where Osira attacks Discovery.
Yes,
that, and they were being attacked by regulators.
Yes.
That's the
song The Regulators by Warren G.
Featuring someone else, right, Jesse?
Sounds vaguely familiar. Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg. I think it was, I think it was Nate Dogg. Anyways, this is kind of off topic, isn't it?
A little bit.
I mean, one might consider
it. It was Warren G featuring Nate Dogg. It was just Regulate? Oh, I thought it was called The Regulators. No, the first word is Regulators. It's just called Regulate.
All right. Well, okay. Know, close enough. Anyway, them
I've been calling it the wrong thing this whole time. It's so embarrassing.
What do you mean this whole time? Like your whole life?
Yeah, I've been calling it the regulators. 90s, oh no. It's just Regulate. Oh my, I'm so embarrassed.
Okay.
Okay.
Dan, taking this really seriously.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking about
visibly shaking.
All those
it's
times.
It's like you've been stuck in a time loop.
All those.
I am from the future.
I like it because it's the way you said it sounded funny, but when you think about it, it doesn't make sense.
it's just I'm thinking about all those times I thought I was legitimate, and it turns out I'm not legitimate.
No, you're not legitimate. That's a fair observation. So,
unacceptable.
But I don't even know what I think about it because the Jet Reno joke was so funny, but it was like. Was she saying get a better helmet because of the helmet being susceptible to phaser fire
yeah,
or that it was susceptible to soft bare fist punches?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
It just seems such a confusing thing.
There were two sort of sides going on there, right? Because there was a hard percussive thing and then there was the soft hit.
And it wasn't like you might say, okay, if it's a Klingon character or an android or something, you could say, okay, well, they're blah, blah, they punch so hard. But Burnham, she's a badass, but she's not punching through a helmet, you know?
Yeah, I don't think as far as one-liners go, like sort of like after the bam, give a one-liner, be badass. I thought it was kind of a weird, it didn't really make a lot of sense generally.
I'm not it was just kind of funny.
It was kind of funny. It just didn't make a ton of sense. Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you, all Patrick. Right.
When you mentioned that joke, that's one of the things that that came up. And more broadly, this episode, they're of course jumping through all this Discovery lore, which is very fun.
I can tell you the different time jumps.
Yes, I was going to ask if you had marked those down, because normally I've been trying to write down star dates and things, but there was so much that I looked at it or I thought about it and I said no. No, I'm not going to do it. I bet Dan's going to do it, so I'm not going
to
do it.
Yeah, it can be obnoxiously time-consuming to do certain things. Like, I wrote down all the text on the conical waves, too.
okay, well, that comes after this.
Yeah, so, okay, number one was the day they arrived in... The first jump was the day they arrived in the 32nd century. That was the first jump.
Okay.
The second jump was when they were dry-docked in San Francisco when Discovery was first being built.
Yes. Out on some island, I guess, in San Francisco Bay.
Yeah, and the contractor was listening to some kind of rockin' music. I want to know what that music was. There was probably no way to find out, but cool, somebody knows. Somebody knows what that music is.
Well, and it was also, he was wearing the... He had the symbol on his thing was the same as like the operation symbol that Scotty and others had. Like, you remember in TOS, each of their badges, Starfleet emblems had like a different symbol, depending on whether they were science or command or operations. Mm-hmm. The operations was a little spiral one. Mm-hmm. This guy had it on his blue helmet with the super flat... which was very like the original, the motion picture type vibe, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And he was wearing some like spandex stuff, not spandex, but like, you know, tight fitting.
Yeah.
Star Trek clothes.
Yeah. Tight fitting Star Trek clothes.
The third jump was Stardate 105.
Was it the third Shap?
No.
The third Shap.
Shap. Who came up with that one?
You know, that's from a Deep Space Nine episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you know which one? It's from Move Along Home. All right, we will move along home to continue the description of the time periods.
Yeah. Next one was Stardate 105 1.8, Battle with Control.
Yes.
Okay, that was the control
I remember
battle.
That was a tough one.
That was a tough one. Yeah, she even said so.
I know. I like that she kind of like, she just grasped the bridge of her nose. She was like, man, that was a tough one.
Yeah.
That was fucked up.
Yeah, she did.
A bunch of fucked up shit happened.
She was all chuckling about it.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one, in this one, this cycle lasts twice as long as the one before it, that we know that. And it's when Osira attacks Discovery and they're being attacked by the Regulators. But that was what they noted, that the last cycle lasted twice as long as the one before it, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Okay, number five was the year 3218, almost 30 years after their quote-unquote today. By the way, when they began...
When they began
the episode, they began it with 15 hours prior.
Yeah,
which
seemed, I didn't like that.
Yeah, it seemed kind of arbitrary. Yeah. It just kind of like, why not just start there? I don't know why they... I think they were trying to stay in line with the whole time jumping like theme, but
I think that scene was meant to go at like the beginning of the previous episode or something, and I think it's just it was 15 hours before, and then it was today.
Yeah, that's what
aggravating.
Yeah, today it's like
is it though, for real?
Right, yeah.
15 hours.
Like,
yeah, maybe.
usually when you say today, yes. it means that the last yes. scene was like years ago or yes. something, not 15 hours ago.
I didn't like that.
So we can assume that it was like at least, what is it, 2 p.m.? Because like 2 p.m. minus 15 mm-hmm. hours would be, right? 14 minus 15. We can assume it's...
I'm not paying attention anymore.
We can assume it was 2:59 because then like today, 15 hours ago would have been yesterday. Anyway.
I'm not in any position to deal with numbers at this moment.
Not in any position.
You feel free to do whatever you want. I'm not going to object. I can neither contribute nor comprehend what you're talking about.
And the next. We can get the next clue.
I can comprehend.
When Mal was when they were selling that thing to that dude with the latinum, she's like, we heard you might try something like this, yeah. so we came prepared. I mean, prepared, like, they straight up just killed the guy from the start. Yeah. Like, being prepared would mean killing him in case he tried to fuck with them. But their version of we came prepared was, we're going to kill you before you even get a chance to be an asshole.
This is what I was alluding to at the beginning of tonight's episode, is that this is the part of the story that I still don't like. And in fact, I'm growing increasingly aggravated.
The Mullen Lock?
The Mullen Lock stuff, I'm just not buying it. They're trying to drop hints that, you know, like today in this episode, yeah, today, cause it says today my brain, that scene happened today, but it actually happened 15 hours ago.
It was today, meaning it was at least 3 PM, 2:59.
I'm emotionally aggravated by this plot. Actually, not that I'm exaggerating. It's not that big a deal. I'm just not really invested in it because I don't know who these people are.
They're not giving them much time at all.
They're having her say stuff like with this guy, whoever this salesperson, he's an Anari, which is a Delta Quadrant species, first introduced in Voyager's Nightingale and referenced in Voyager's The Void. So, you know, I like they keep doing this kind of like with Raynor, where they've been grabbing these like one-off species from Star Trek lore, Star Trek history. Anyway.
They soaked the latinum in Fapiano poison.
Fapiano. Fallopian tube?
Floppy Anya.
So with Maul, she implies, she's all like, we put the same poison that you sold to the Emerald Chain to poison people like me. So you get the idea that she's positioning herself and the writers are positioning her as some sort of redeemable character, some sort of freedom fighter, whatever. I don't know exactly, but I just don't know this person, right? It's the same thing with like the book knows her and he keeps thinking about her and looking at pictures of her and thinking about, and it's just like, that's not giving me any information.
Right.
And I'm a little frustrated by that. Mm-hmm. And Maul and Locke are simultaneously very tropey, right? They're very, very Bonnie and Clyde. Very Priss from Blade Runner.
Right.
Apparently, I didn't see the Ahsoka, but apparently there's a character like that, like Maul in Ahsoka, an antagonist.
Okay. One thing I liked about Locke in this episode is he starts to like get an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
So he's like the walls are closing in. So that was like the only moment where it was kind of like you see him sort of like he's this fragile kind of guy.
And that gets to my concern here, which is that and he did that a little last episode too. He's been shown to be a little bit more nervous about all this, or like when they were dealing with Fred. Remember Fred the android?
He was the one
who was just like, why don't we just sell it to this guy for a lot of money or whatever. Even that though is still sort of stereotypical. It's the one character is the driving force of the criminal duo. The other one's getting a little nervous and saying we're being too greedy. And the thing that I'm not buying is like when Maul is trying to convince us, she says it, they have all this exposition where she's like, because Locke is like, I'm nervous. And Maul is like, we're going to get the progenitor's tech and then we'll never have anyone chasing us again. Okay, but like it seems like you'd be pretty good if you just sold it for a huge amount of money and just hold up on some moon or something somewhere. I don't get what her motivation is. I totally believe that somewhere down the line, we're going to be told what her motivation is. It's going to be something that retroactively kind of makes sense. But I'm not enjoying that part of the story, right? I'm not waiting for some surprise where I'm like, oh, now I get it.
Yeah.
That's not a surprise to me in storytelling. That's just sort of like you've aggravated me for a while, and then you've retroactively provided an excuse that makes the character make sense.
I wish they were more on top of giving a little more screen time to them, just so we remind the way they're reminding us that they exist is little things like this that don't, like, these less than five minutes of screen time of just some kind of like, oh yeah, they're still here.
You do forget that they're in the story. And then, so then it's sort of jarring. Yeah, when you exactly. see them.
Right. Right. So I don't know, maybe in the last half of episodes, it'll start to converge or something, but we haven't really seen, like you said, we haven't seen much of their activity to make a convergence really pay off, you know, because it'd be cool if they were both doing their own thing and then it converges and then you see how the effects of that, I don't know.
But I do think your point about the screen time, maybe that's what it partly comes down to, because we've seen countless times in Star Trek. I mean, like the first time we ever see Gul Dukat, he's instantly an amazing antagonist. We get to enjoy that antagonist and learn more about that antagonist over the course of 7 seasons of Deep Space Nine, but it's right away you are interested and engaged. Kai Winn is another example, right?
She's the worst.
She is. we have been introduced effectively and efficiently introduced to antagonists before of all stripes. So I just don't buy into this idea that you can't, there's not possible to do it. I think it's a choice they've made, and I'm just not a huge fan of that choice. It does not significantly impact my enjoyment of the show, because overall I'm really enjoying it, and this episode I thought was gangbusters. I thought it was really fun and nicely paced, and I like the themes and all that other stuff. It's just this minor little cloying aggravation where, and then it pops back to them, but at the same time there's like them standing on a alien beach. That was awesome. That was kind of that whole scene in it was fundamentally cool. I was just like something, the lighting, it was like the beach at sunset. It's just something we don't really see on Star Trek very much. And then it's all this tropey stuff.
Yeah.
I thought you just had like a loop of seagulls.
I was just playing
space
it over.
Seagulls.
Those weren't space seagulls. Well, that were just beach seagulls.
You got any space seagulls?
No, only normal seagulls.
Oh, did you? So that's not even related to the episode.
No, it is related to the episode.
Oh, okay. So you're just commenting on the fact that they're on an alien world with an alien atmosphere, but they have just regular old seagulls.
Yeah, you said the beach, so I was like, this actually came from the scene when they were in San Francisco.
That makes sense.
So
that
makes sense. And then you mentioned the beach, and I was like, well, there's always seagulls at the beach.
There's always money in the banana stand.
So anyway, back to quote unquote today, which I'm figuring they just said today to give, and the 15 hours ago thing, it must have just set us in the mood for this back and forth time travel. But I don't buy preceding a scene that says today with something that happens 15 hours ago. Anyways,
that felt like they had to shift around some scenes in a way that wasn't initially planned.
Right.
That happens in television production. That happens all the time, especially in a serialized story. They're filming stuff across multiple episodes, things like that.
So this back to the fifth cycle, the fifth Shap. So it was almost 30 years after their today, but this was like she didn't meet with Kraft until like 1,000 years later.
Yeah, so...
So it doesn't directly relate
to
that.
No, it doesn't, and that's the thing is...
But it does evoke, it sort of evokes...
Well, because it plays the song, right? It plays some of that song. Tarek mentioned that, and other people online have mentioned that it does evoke Calypso, but clearly is not the same situation.
But everything's all blowed up like it is in the super future.
Yeah, but even worse, actually, because see, the thing is that in the future we see in Calypso, the ship appears to have been up by itself for like 1,000 years, but it's not all dusty and gross inside. It's not like the bodies of people, like it was abandoned. People didn't die and then crumble to dust there.
This ship that's been sitting like this for 30 years, we can assume that it probably got destroyed within a few weeks after this season.
That's what they state that
so
explicitly.
It's been sitting around for basically 30 years later. Those lights are still blinking, like there's still power going to that ship. That's pretty good. It must be a testament to the deuteronomy of dilithium.
It's a flux capacitor.
The flux capacitor,
it's what makes time travel possible.
So her HUD says, first she's got two HUDs, one before the conical wave.
Can you explain for listeners not in the know what the acronym HUD stands for?
Heads up display.
There you go.
Anyone who plays video games is probably familiar.
Anyone who plays video games or who drives like a 1991. What was that? Wasn't that like a didn't like the Ford Taurus or some Buick. Some cars had that back in the day. I know some cars have it now, but some cars had that back in the day.
On the windshield?
They would show the speedometer on the windshield.
Right, on their HUD.
Yeah.
In Zelda, in Tears of the Kingdom, if you
when
don't
you said HUD, it made me think of PUD.
PUD, no.
And Chud.
In Tears of the Kingdom or Breath of the Wild, if you turn the control or the map scheme or the on-screen display off of Pro, what's the one that's not Pro? It's like normal or something?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You know, when you press it to the normal mode and it shows you the mini map and it shows you like the temperature outside.
Yeah,
and
that's I keep it on the normal mode.
Yeah, that's the HUD.
Oh, okay.
And then when you turn it Pro, the HUD goes away.
Okay.
Anyway, Pro. Anyway, so her heads-up display, the first one says active time tracker, spatial coordinates, 00-0001531.000041-0.132. They've been in this time for 5 minutes and 9 seconds. It's time cycle 5, which is correct, by the way. This is the fifth time cycle. Mm-hmm. It says start 8-893-612.3, but here's something weird. It also says time cycle 6. So you want to assume that time cycle 6 means that's the next time cycle, but the start date for time cycle 6 is identical to the start date for time cycle 5. Both time cycle 5 and time cycle 6 on her heads-up display say 8-9-3-6-1-2.3. They fucked that up.
Hey, Jesse, don't you love it when Dan puts on his journalist voice? His gotcha journalist voice. He's like, I got him.
It's just my voice.
No, you put on, there's like an excited... That's like, well, I got him.
It's not. Yeah. It's not a.
I have evidence.
It's not a done on purpose voice. It's just.
I'm not suggesting it is.
It represents the excitement.
The energy flowing through you.
I'm not putting up any fronts.
No. The energy flowing through you is that you.
I'm not wearing this voice.
Discovered new knowledge. Okay.
This voice is a symptom, not a.
Right. Well, Dan, you finish that sentence when we get back from our break, because we're going to take a quick break.
Oh, fuck.
And when we return, Dan will finish that sentence, and then we will finish our discussion of Star Trek Discovery's fifth season episode, Weird Science. Be right back.
Get out!
Alrighty, we have returned from our very brief break.
Okay. So I was saying that time cycle 5 and 6 were the same. I think that was a mistake on their part.
All right.
Then they go to the conical wave graphic,
we got right back into it. This is great.
And then the active time tracker time cycle duration. This time, instead of telling you how long they've been there, which was 5 minutes and 9 seconds, now it tells you how much time they have left, which is 22 seconds. It has the top part says future. The bottom part says past. Those are the fat parts of the cones. And in the skinny part of the cone, it is a current position. For some reason, current position, it's like a single point. But then when the future and the past go off in these cones, maybe that's just to mean that from this one point, an infinite number of futures and pasts can occur. I don't know.
That's a pretty standard diagram that folks who have read things like Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time or other similar texts that describe their light cones. And when you get into theory of relativity and time as the fourth dimension and all that other stuff, apparently these light cone diagrams are supposed to help you understand all that. It never helped me too much, but
it seems like it would mean like the current, like I just said, is the single point, and from this single point an infinite number of possibilities can occur, thus the cone gets fatter, representing all the different
I think it relates partly to the what information you have access to, because you only have access to information that can reach you, and there's certain things that are outside of your cone.
So why does the cone get fatter as it gets farther away?
I could not tell you. I was very much an English major.
So
I mean, barely that. I did like movies, and I watched a lot of movies.
Movie.
Film.
So this one, the cone gives a heading, which is 002-mark-316, I believe. It was a little fuzzy. Gave spatial coordinates again, and the velocity they were going was warp 0.00047. That's a low warp. Is that, some could say that was close to...
Wait, what was that? That's what warp they were going? I thought they were going like maximum warp. When was this?
This was when they were showing, when they were on the future ship with Zora. And that showed, and then it was showing this conical wave graphic, which was after the initial.
Yeah, okay,
graphic.
Okay. Yeah,
it's
I got
on
you.
The conical wave. One of the attributes was velocity, and it said warp 0.00047, which I don't know how close to impulse that would be, but I mean, that's seems like it'd be pretty slow compared to warp one anyway.
It seems like it would be sub warp one is warp light speed, I guess. It'd be less than warp.
It'd be one. It's four.
It's peculiar.
It's 4/10,000ths of warp one.
It's peculiar.
1/10,000,000 Yeah, 4/10,000ths. So that was weird. Anyway, so the next one was number 6. We don't really know where they are there, except that Reno called him.
I'm waiting, Dr. Truffles.
That was in number. I'm waiting, Doctor. The more I play it by itself, the more it sounds like she's whining.
I'm waiting, Dr. Truffles.
But
she's putting on a little sing-songy voice.
Yeah,
too.
She is. No, it's great.
I'm waiting, Dr. Truffles.
No, it's a great brilliant line. It's just brilliant. When I play it by itself, isolated, it takes on a new tone with me. Anyway, that's the one she calls him, says that to him. And she needed the reference calculations for the injector coil. And that's when he starts asking her some questions about... what was he asking her? He was asking Reno...
I mean, you tell us, Dan. Hey, Jesse. What's with this guy?
What is Reno's specialty? What's her specialty?
She's an engineer.
Yeah, but she's got to have especially because Stamets is asking her about some theoretical temporal predicament.
It's Star Trek. All the engineers are super geniuses.
But they
know everything.
But like he's asking her, so it makes me think that she has a particular specialty, but I don't know. Anyways, he goes, say some temporal unpleasantness were to hit the ship. Yeah. To nullify it, mm-hmm. I just need to calibrate a chronoton stabilizer to partition world lines per Scaravelli's mm-hmm. constant.
Well, there
and
you
she,
go.
And she says, theoretically, yes, as long as you factor dimensional variations. So, and then she warned him not to turn into a Rothko painting.
Yeah, do you know who Rothko is? He's the guy who does those abstract paintings that are just sort of like bands of colors.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
they're very
mm-hmm,
nice.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how necessary that part of that technobabble really was to that episode. This episode, like, I don't really know why he asked her it, other than they were giving Janet Reno.
You did it too.
I know.
I don't have to feel
the
so
funny
silly.
Part is I said Jet Reno first, and I corrected myself to Janet Reno because of you. So I think they were just trying to give Jet Reno a line or something because I don't know why he bothered to ask her that just so they could talk about a bunch of techno babble.
It was funny for her to ask him if he was in a time loop.
I guess that's why it was a setup for the time
loop. It's a funny joke.
It's a setup for the time loop.
And Dan, by the way, did you see they set up that joke and then they had a punchline?
Oh, I see what you're doing here.
So next week... next week...
I think that's a mistake.
No doubt when you do this yet again.
I've seen how you die.
That's fucked up. Next week, this week's was a better punchline, but hopefully you'll improve on that.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Next up.
Now there's number 7.
Number 7.
We don't know.
Time cycle number 7.
We don't know. They have 8 minutes. They can build the thing though.
Well, that's good.
that's good. They can build the thing.
Is this the one where she sees Cleveland Booker without his shirt on? And
oh my
and
gosh!
Everyone gets horny.
Yeah,
Burnham gets horny. Everyone watching the show gets horny.
But I should go.
Yeah,
it's like definitely... he's so hot.
Yeah, I know.
The Federation is at stake. And briefly, Burnham was like, bah!
But I should go.
He's like, I just got back from the oil machine, you know?
Yeah, right.
The special machine we have that just like beams a bunch of oil onto you. splurts some oil down.
So this
future oil.
So this part didn't make sense in the 7th cycle. Burnham says, and they're talking about like how they can build the thing. And then there's like good news, bad news. Good news is we can build the thing. And Burnham says, and the bad news, Stamets goes, the main ingredient is a field disruptor fluid that's in 32nd century holodecks.
Yeah.
Why is that bad news? Burnham says, and at around this time, the holodeck in my quarters would have just been installed.
Yeah. Because,
I don't see why that's bad news.
Because she has to go to her quarters. And there's the risk that she would see herself in the court.
Yes, I know, but like...
She's got to go out and about.
But why does she say... No, I know that part. But what I'm saying is, why does she bother saying, oh, the bad news is it's... At around this time, the holodeck in my quarters would have just been installed. She's saying that as if it's bad news.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Like, why does she mention the part that it's just been installed?
Okay.
Unless a month from now they've been installed all over the ship or something.
Yeah, maybe that's what we're supposed to take, that she's that the only one is in her room.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they would have just gone to the main holodeck.
Yeah. So maybe
although they didn't really have holodecks on this business anyway, right? Because remember, it's a 22nd century ship.
22nd century ship. Yeah.
It's been upgraded.
But now they have hollow rooms, bedrooms, yeah, and stuff.
This is why Janeway was not into time travel, because it gets confusing.
Yeah.
Are you the future or the past? Are you the future or the past?
Are you the future?
I am you from the future.
Yes. Now, doppelganger fight. Are we ready? No. Wait. There's another cycle.
There's one last eight. It's Lorca's ship.
Yeah.
They have 14 minutes this time, which is the longest they've had.
Yeah.
There's an away mission. Lorca's on an away mission with Saru and Landry. The duty roster has Reese on call, and they've also got Detmer, Owosakun, Bryce, Tilly, Chen, Sanchez, and Arium.
Yeah, Bryce is back.
And this is when Burnham is the mutineer, so we can talk into that. Into that.
We can talk into that. Talk into that. I don't know precisely what you mean by that, but
No, Burnham, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Yeah. I really do.
So, okay, before we actually get to the doppelganger fight, I wanted to first say that it's always fun to see the future self, past self thing. This is nothing new, but I just think Sonequa Martin-Green did such a fucking brilliant job of differentiating her past and future self.
She seems so angry in the past.
Yes, yeah. But and it the
some kind of a time bug.
Cloak alert.
Yes.
I'm waiting, Dr. Truffles.
I'm gonna call my next cat Dr. Truffles.
All right, you do that. So, Sonequa Martin-Green really encapsulated the past version of herself so well, and frankly, everyone did. I thought Tilly did a great job.
I love when Tilly was like, "I love your hair." Yeah. I don't know. It was, and then when she was like, "You think I'm gonna stab you in your sleep, yes, but I'm not going to." She's like, "Thank you."
Yeah, they all did a great job.
Thank you.
But Burnham on Burnham versus Burnham, Burnham v. Burnham.
Burnham v. Burnham.
Was really great.
Not Burnham just, X Burnham, Burnham v. Burnham.
And I think it also illustrated the main theme, the main point of the episode, as you noted, Dan, people change kind of vibe. Mm. Because you see it right there, and that's where Burnham is reminded about
it. Well, I was saying one of the themes was people connecting.
Okay, I was the one who said it.
Yeah, I was saying this was one of the major themes for me was Rainer learning how to connect to the
crew.
But
that's him changing in the process of learning that, right? He learns that, and he becomes presumably a better person. Who knows? Maybe it'll fuck everything up.
Change is a part of life.
But they just...
Did you know that?
Yes.
I heard that.
They did a really great job.
Death is a change from life.
And I appreciate all that.
Yeah, no, it's good. They were doing some kind of like kung fu influenced battle.
Yes.
They were doing some kind of like hand motions and swippy swappies with their hands.
The fight was mildly frustrating to me because parts of it I thought were very well choreographed. Other parts of it were incomprehensible and a little too fast. I'm guessing that's just a function of having somebody fight themselves is always a tricky special effect.
Okay, so there was two points that was a little weird. One when I just mentioned where she does like...
When their arms bumped up against each other?
That was the second one. I was going to come to that. The first one was when...
I kind of like that.
When the first one was when she like got back into her stance and she like spun her arms around like Elvis would when Elvis is doing his like karate move.
That. You're right.
And so,
I'm a federal agent.
Yeah, and so like they were doing that move. And
Hamburger James.
And I was like, we could have done without that little flourish there. Whatever, it was a little... when they connected the arms together, I know what they were going for, which is they were the same person. They went for the same move, and that's trying to represent that. But they just kind of stood there for a second with their arms crossed. It was awkward.
Like, what it was like when you watch a magical battle between equally matched wizards.
Yeah,
and their powers, got the blue, their zappers, like
blue,
yeah,
blue flame. Like one is the red flame.
Harry Potter versus Voldemort, and it's all like going meeting in the middle.
Right.
That's what it was. Mm-hmm. I kind of dug that, although I agree, I do think it looked a little silly, but
it also reminded me of like sword fighting movies when they briefly clash
and they're like, ha ha,
yeah, when they get
your handsome man,
yeah, right, they get close in with the cross.
I am not left-handed,
yeah,
that sort of thing,
yeah. I like being close to you, you know,
I like it, I like,
so it was, I got what they were going for, flesh. It was a little awkward, I thought, but
parts of it were just, I thought, not well directed, and other parts I thought were very well directed.
It was trying to figure out how to get them do the two person, the same person double thing. Cause there's one moment where you saw both their faces when young Burnham was on the ground after she'd been neck zapped. And then, Elder Burnham was holding her there. You could see
you're going for elder and younger.
Yeah. Not,
which is technically true.
Not old.
There's
Burnham.
Future and past.
Oh, I guess there is future.
You could say previous.
I am from the future.
Prior and post. Prior and post. Pre-Burnham and post-Burnham.
Pre-Burnham.
I guess neither of those quite work.
Younger Burnham was on the ground on her back, and elder Burnham had her head cradled in her hand, and you could see both their faces. But on the younger Burnham, it looked a little bit almost like oh, I can see where they did the special effect here. Not that they did a poor job; it looked really cool. But I could kind of tell. I felt I could tell. Now, watch. It was actually the other one that was changed, and I'm an idiot. But like,
watch.
But I think it was the younger Burnham was the one that was superimposed on there in that scene. But I don't know for certain.
Superimposed.
Why it's is like, that funny?
Because it makes me think that something's like really well imposed.
Oh. Super.
Fraud complex.
It's super imposed.
Super VGA.
Indeed. We get to see Ariam again.
Yes, we do.
Which I thought was cool. As well as Bryce.
I would.
So Bryce, he came to the future, but he wasn't in much of season 4. Because the actor Ronnie Rowe Jr. was doing the porter. He was doing a TV show, so he wasn't available for filming. So I think they said he was transferred to the USS Curie. But in this episode, we get to see him in the past a couple times, which is cool. And of course, Ariam, played again by Hannah Cheeseman, who took over the role from Sarah Mittick in the second season. She switched over to playing Lieutenant Nilsen, and Lieutenant Nilsen was transferred to the Voyager J in the fourth season. So we won't see her again.
Well, that was kind of sad sounding. Well, you said that.
Well, Voyager. I mean, maybe we will see.
Voyager's always getting lost.
I thought the Ariam. When Ariam was convinced that Burnham was for real, I thought that was confusing. I didn't think any of it really made any sense. So here's how it went down.
Yeah, I agree.
So how was Burnham able to convince him? Like, basically it amounted to just by saying that Ariam would die for them. Because Burnham goes, Ariam is going to die because she sacrifices herself for the good of the ship. And then the argument from Detmer says she wouldn't let that happen. And Burnham was like, there's no other way. And then Wosakoon said she'd fight him off. And Burnham says, yeah, some fights can't be won, which another way of saying she couldn't fight him off. And then Detmer goes, she would never give up like that. Which is a weird argument, because if you get stabbed in the face and die, it's not because you gave up. That's weird. But then Ariam, so they're all saying like, no, this wouldn't happen to Ariam. And then it ends with Detmer saying she wouldn't give up. And then Ariam like, I would, if it came to that, I would sacrifice my life for discovery. And then that's the point she believes Burnham. Why does that convince her that Burnham is legit? Burnham somehow psychically knew that Ariam would sacrifice herself for the ship. That's not exactly a leap of logic there. Starfleet officers are trained to do just that. Now, while not all of them would do that, I think it's safe to say it's not taking a risk to say that a Starfleet officer would risk their life for them. Just like it's not a risk to say that Burnham had a fraud complex or or, as you people put it, imposter syndrome or whatever.
imposter syndrome.
But like, so I can't see the logical jump that takes place between she died for us to she wouldn't give up to yes I would, therefore Burnham's legitimate. I don't understand. Like,
I agree.
I feel like the conviction, would that be the right word?
The conviction with which she suddenly believed Burnham.
What's the noun of convince?
Convinced?
No, that's
an adjective. I was convinced.
Conviction is convict.
Is having, no, but you can have a conviction.
Can you say convinced?
I mean, Dan, hey Dan, let me tell you something. You can say whatever the fuck you want. It's towards the end of the podcast, so you can really kind of get away with whatever you want to get away with.
For the word convince is conviction. I was right.
Yes.
Okay, so.
I agreed with you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
I mean, somewhere in there I did.
Playback to take. So I was not sold on the Ariam conviction.
No, nor was I. It didn't bother me so much, but it would have been nice if they had a better angle. Maybe they just couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah, I think that's what it amounted to.
By the time they had to film it, they're like, yeah, this is good enough.
It's like, yeah, I would have sacrificed myself for the ship. What? How did Burnham know that?
Well, it's because I'm not immediately coming up with something else. What she had done with the other people was to mention something that she could only know if she was actually from the future.
Yeah, I know. And I was buying all those other
things. Exactly. And it's interesting that they didn't just have her do something similar with Ariam, but you could have fluffed it up somehow to make it
more
impactful.
I think they were just trying to remind us how noble she was or something like that.
Yeah.
Arium.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But Arium took the fact that she was dying pretty well. I mean, she was like, oh, we're just going to forget it soon anyway. No big
she's
deal.
She's a cyborg.
Yeah.
Human with the implants. And
okay,
all that.
And here's another thing. Why didn't Arium tell young Burnham and Reese to stand down when they had the guns on Stamets and company?
Well,
like,
I was
like,
a little confused
by
that, but maybe Burnham, just being a mutineer, was not ready to take orders from...
Right, so I was thinking that.
From,
I was thinking that, but first of all, she didn't even try. Like, I'm saying, Arium didn't even try. Second of all, Reese was there, and she could have at least been like, Reese, don't do that. Mm-hmm. And Reese would have listened to her.
Yeah.
But instead, they left it to, like, the one person that they aren't convinced is real, you know?
No,
they
had,
let it, they let
I
it to had, her to
I
convince
I had not
them.
Considered that. I had not actually thought about that.
No, I just don't. I don't.
Now I'm a little aggravated.
And then when they said 90 seconds left at Mark...
This is what I wanted to know. This is what I've been waiting all podcasts for, by the way. Ever since I first saw that, because I watched this episode a few times, since I watched it the first time, I was like, you know that the meme with Leonardo DiCaprio from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and he's sitting in his chair and he's pointing at the TV.
Oh, yeah.
You know that meme?
Mm-hmm,
That's what that was me. I was like, is Dan's going to write down the time? He's going to tell us whether or not the time they've stated, like when they say there's 30 seconds left,
right?
Let's see how much. I was like, I'm purposely not going to keep track of this because I want to be surprised.
So
I know Dan's going to calculate the fuck out of this.
Yep. So at the time of 43 minutes and 54 seconds in the show, they said there were 90 seconds left. 43, 54. At 44, 43.
Goddamn numbers again.
44, 43, which is 49 seconds later.
Okay.
They say there's 30 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. So that means that if 40, let's round it to 50 seconds. Let's say 50 seconds.
Hey Jesse, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's round it to, let's say, what was it, 50 seconds?
50 seconds.
All right.
So 43, 54 to 44, 44.
Right,
at 43, 50,
believe you.
At 43, 54, she said 90 seconds. Mm. At 44, 44, she said 30 seconds.
So how many seconds is that?
There should have been 40 seconds left. Because 50 seconds, there's a time, there's between 43:54 and 44:44, there's 50 seconds. If there's 90 seconds at 43:54, 90 minus 50 is 40. She said there were 30 seconds left. There should have been 40 seconds.
So there was
left.
10 seconds more. Now, do you have the second part of this, which is after this says 30 seconds left, how long until it actually, until the thing actually happens?
For some reason, I don't have that because I think they might have gotten that right.
So you just didn't. So if they get it right, you don't make a note of it.
No. There's a reason. There must have been a damn good reason why I didn't.
There must have been a damn good reason. Let me tell you, brother. There must have been a damn good reason.
Well,
I'm sure there was. How about this? While you're thinking about that, we'll go over.
Wait a second. 90 seconds left.
A few points.
30 seconds. Just a few more seconds. Oh, because the next time they say hang in there just a few more seconds. So they don't. That's why I didn't do it, because they just say a few more seconds.
All right.
So when they say a few more seconds, that's not telling you how many seconds.
Yeah, but what about when they said 30 seconds?
Yeah, when they said 30 seconds, it should have been 40 seconds left.
Yeah, but how much was actually left? After they say 30 seconds, how much screen time passed until the conclusion, until the zappy-dap thing happened?
I
said the thing was going to happen in 30 seconds. And I guess technically they prevent it from happening. But what I'm getting at is, if they say 30 seconds and they don't prevent it from happening within that 30 seconds, then the whole plot goes out the window.
Yeah, you're right. I know.
If it's 35 seconds until that spider is destroyed, it doesn't. This whole plot falls apart. Does not make any fucking sense.
For whatever reason, I didn't write it down, and it must have been because secretly I didn't want my whole, like, the whole thing to break down for me. I wanted it to hold together.
Tremendous disappointment.
Well, I'll come back next week and I'll let you know.
All right.
But like I said, maybe I was just afraid that it would all fall apart, and I didn't want it to fall apart in front of me, so I just denied myself that information.
Quite disappointing. Not what was not disappointing was Rainer getting old man hand.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was wonderful.
That was pretty awesome.
He got gross old man George H.W. Bush hands.
Yeah.
And then he got him fixed. I thought for a moment he wasn't going to get it fixed, cuz Burnham was like, you can get Culber, we'll go, you know, Culber will fix that right
He's
up for
some
you.
Gross old man hands.
Rainer's the type
you up,
he
all
might
nasty.
Rainer's the type who might want a battle scar, a battle scar.
Yeah, but that's the difference between battle scar and old man hand.
I was thinking he probably was like, hey, this is kind of cool. And then he was like, oh, I'm going to have to, you know, like, I'm going to have to touch myself. And it's going to be weird. Not just, not just touching the penis. I mean, you know, just like scratching your arm or something. And nothing wrong with old man hands. It's just like if you got one not old man or like one upper middle aged hand and then like a super elderly old withered hand. I don't know.
I love this Wither. This exchange.
Well, he lives outside of time because of his tardigrade DNA.
Yes.
Yeah. That part is crazy. That's pretty awesome.
Which reminds me that not that we shied away from it, but this was an episode where we got to have a lot of playtime with Stamets, and I love Stamets, and it's been a little while since we've had extensive Stamets, and this was fun Stamets, right? Yes, there was a lot of drama and all this stuff, but it was fun, funny Stamets. Stamets got to make lots of jokes. I loved the thing you played earlier where he was all pretending to be grumpy. He's like, hey, I'm an asshole. I'm a piece of shit. Everyone go away.
All right, I am very grumpy. Just absolutely irate, and I need to be left alone.
That's perfect, Stamets. He's actually in this next episode of Duty or No Duty.
Oh, Duty. Is he? Are there any, by the way, were there any that's in orders this episode?
I didn't notice any, but
I didn't notice, but after,
but I've been kind of forgetting.
My brain was like, maybe there are.
I kind of been forgetting. So I've got to get back on that one. And also that name that clip based upon, name that context based upon the sound of the clue. What was that one? I can't believe I forgot my own fucking game show name. I had that shit down.
I believe it. I believe that you
forgot.
I don't
think I had a name.
Jesse from Open Pike?
Yeah, I think he brought it up last week.
He remembers.
Week. Yeah.
He's
got should a better, ask him then.
He's got a better brain.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
It's just one of those things. Some people got good brains. Some people's brains are all fucked up.
So Duty or No Duty?
The duty roster has Reese on call.
Reese! That was a duty.
Duty, yes.
You mean duty.
Duty.
It's duty or no duty.
Oh, duty or no duty. Duty or no duty.
Right.
So when they say no duty, it's no duty.
No
right.
duty.
Okay, yes. I say no duty.
Yes.
Yes what?
No duty.
The duty roster has Reese on call.
I say duty.
You think duty?
I think duty.
Oh, man, are we going to get another one of these arguments?
I'm just going to play one more time.
Okay.
The duty roster has Reese on call.
I hear a plosive in the team there.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. That's part of the game, though. That's the way the game's played. Patrick says no duty. Jesse says no duty. I say duty.
Okay.
Okay. Speaking of about the whole old man hand leading up to it. This was the description for how this works. Stamets says, okay, so the spanner disintegrated because time within the temporal shield is moving at an ultra-accelerated rate. So anything, including us, ages to dust before it can actually get to the bug itself. Totally makes sense. I'm with him. But we can mitigate the effects long enough to get in and deactivate it.
Do you think we can mitigate? You're banging on the table.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. It's just funny.
I'll try not to.
No, it's you're being so emphatic.
But we can mitigate the effects long enough to get in and deactivate it. We just need to allow relativity to take over by taking the ship to maximum warp and then breaking the warp bubble. That's when they start losing me. And then Burnham says, because that's what protects us from the effects of relativity. We'll drop out of warp so fast that the time inside the shield won't be able to keep up. Yeah. And then Sam says, essentially, whatever went into the shield in that moment would still age, just not instantly. They start to lose me in the second half.
It doesn't make any sense. Because they have the inertial dampeners. The inertial dampeners would presumably cancel out, because that's exactly what the inertial dampeners are in a sense doing.
Well, and they actually use the inertial dampeners in that same. Yeah. They said
both dampers and dampeners, by the way.
They said essentially whatever went into the shield at the moment would still age, just not instantly. And then they go, well, wouldn't the whiplash kill us or break Discovery into a million pieces? And that's when Stamets says, well, the inertial dampeners should prevent that, hopefully. So they do bring up the dampeners, but it only applies to part of this whole equation. I don't it's kind of gobbledygook.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually hear dampers. But
I think I heard dampers and dampeners.
Well, what I did see is there was one part where the closed captioning has says dampeners throughout. except for one time when Wosakun said dampeners, the closed captioning said dampers.
But you thought she said dampeners.
Here it is.
Inertial dampeners are holding command.
Definitely says dampeners.
Yeah, she says dampeners. And at that point, the closed captioning said dampers. Although there was another point where they were saying month and the closed captioning spelled it M-O-N-T. So they could have got like meaning.
Month.
Yeah, which is funny because the transcript I was looking at also had that exact same.
Dan's making some like karate motions at me.
The transcript I looked at had that same mistake. So the transcript I was looking at was, that's not Chakotea.net. They don't have the new stuff. So
I know.
Chakotea.net is not, is not on trial here.
Dan's brandishing my finger. He's like, that's not Chakotea.net.
They're not on trial
you
here.
Better get it straight.
These new motherfuckers, they just copy whatever is put in the goddamn closed captioning.
Then the file or whatever that is. Anyway, so, but it's weird though that they, month, I mean, I can see they forgot the H.
It's
but to say damper instead of dampener, that seems like, a very specific error.
I thought Rainer said damper and then Stamets said dampener. But anyway, it's not a big deal. You let us know at home. You can write us in at feedback@gotstartrek.com. Dampener versus damper is ongoing debate. It's not just us. This is across the whole Star Trek community. We are always debating this whole dampener thing. In fact, we had an interaction on Twitter with Mike Okuda, who was telling us a little background about that. But anyway, you'd have to listen to one of our previous episodes. I don't remember which one, so just listen to them.
There was a few back.
Just listen to them all. The beginning ones, I don't know. But the last 100 or so,
it depends on
solid.
How much you like it.
Pretty solid. Well, there you go, Jesse. Yes, it depends on how much you fucking like it.
If you're really into it, then you might like those early ones.
We're going to do a new episode where Jesse says things that sound profound but are effectively meaningless. It depends on, how much you like it. Okay, that is going to do it for us this week.
I am from the future.
Wait, what about this part?
I've only lost 6 hours.
Felt like 6 years.
Okay, all right.
6 seconds, more like 6 decades. 5 minutes, more like 500 years.
Yeah, Dan, you go off, Dan.
I've only lost 6 hours.
Yeah.
Felt like 6 years.
Damn right.
Cloak alert. Cloak alert.
It's a mystery indeed.
Oh, indeed it is.
Cloak alert.
Cloak alert.
Is this amateur hour?
And here we go again.
It's a mystery indeed.
We hope you had a lot of fun this week. We had a fair amount of fun this week.
Did folks. You see when Burnham started talking to the crew, telling them, I know you and I know you and I know you, with Arium there? There was a picture of the Discovery from a top-down diagram, and on that display, at one point, the Discovery goes zooming away off the screen.
I did not see that.
Whoa, you should see that. It was like a top-down computer graphic of Discovery with all the data information, and at one point, the ship goes zoop off screen.
What okay, you're fucking blowing my mind.
Yeah.
Right, of course. If you out there in the audience would like to blow our minds, you can write us a feedback@itscottstartrek.com.
We can get the next clue.
You can check
next,
out our website, www.itscottstartrek.com.
And the next.
You can send us a voicemail, www.itscottstartrek.com/record.
What the hell is that?
You can go to our Patreon.
I am you.
Lots of good stuff at the Patreon. You're going to love it.
And we should be back in our real time.
Patreon.com.
We're also traveling
slash
space
It's Got Star Trek.
For anyone.
Social media,
but
we're everywhere.
I should go.
At It's Got Star Trek.
We're also traveling through space with the ship.
Twitter.
For anyone.
Mastodon.
For anyone.
Threads. All that business.
For anyone.
YouTube. With Facebook. You name it.
With the ship.
We're out there.
With the ship.
All right.
For anyone. We're also traveling through space.
That's enough for this week. We'll talk to you next week when we discuss mirrors. That's the next episode. Mirrors. Ooh. All right. Bye-bye.
Are you stuck in a time loop right now, Stamets?
What? No. What?